Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Women's Studies Department here at Car Talk Plaza. I know my brother's going to get himself in trouble. So I want to distance myself in advance from anything he's going to say. Is that a wise move?
Well, I mean, all I can say is that I'm just a messenger here. I don't want to be blamed for things that other people send to us in the mail.
But I don't read them on the air. Consider me distanced.
You coward. Come on.
Go ahead.
This is the Center for Women's Studies, and this is
going for coffee. How do you like yours?
This is a list of expressions that you may hear from women with high stress. And here they are. Allow me to introduce myself. That's the kickoff. Here's one. And your crybaby whiny opinion would be? Yeah, have you run across this woman?
I haven't.
I like that. And your crybaby whiny opinion would be? Here's how about this. Well, this day was a total waste of makeup. I'm not crazy. I've just been in a bad mood for 30 years. I just want revenge. Is that so wrong? You say I'm a witch like it's a bad thing. I'm not tense. I'm just terribly, terribly alert. Yeah. Well, I bumped into women like that. Not in my house, of course.
No.
No. Never. But I understand that there are women who are under stress who would say things like this, but not in my house.
Okay, continue.
You're trying to get me into trouble. No.
No, come on.
I have nothing more to say.
I think a little elaboration is necessary.
I think I have heard, and your crybaby whiny opinion would be, I think I've heard that somewhere before.
Any of the others?
Well, I think I've heard, here's one I missed. Errors have been made and others will be blamed. I remember that one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Any others?
You're trying to get me in trouble.
No, why would I do that?
I know you are. That's it. I'm not going to say another word. But why do women get away with stuff like this? I mean, if guys said things like this, or even
said what? Like stupid stuff like this?
Or even felt things like this. First of all, we would be ashamed to say them. And secondly, we just wouldn't say them.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if I ever said to you, and your crybaby whiny opinion would be... No, I've just said, that sounds like a crock to me.
Oh, I see. So,
can we drop it?
I don't think so. You started it. You figure out how to get out of it.
I know how to get out of it. 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
And the opinions previously expressed belonged entirely to
my brother,
Thomas Magliozzi. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. Faith from Anchorage, Alaska.
Hi, Faith from Anchorage. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, but my car has seen some better days, I guess.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah, it's a 90 Subaru Loyale station wagon, and I just drove it here from Maine just a couple of months ago. So she's been real good to me. You know, I just put 12,000 miles on it in a month and a half all by my lonesome.
Did you drive on that Calcan Highway there?
I sampled a little bit of that, but I kind of made up my own route.
You drove from where in Maine?
Bangor, Maine.
To Anchorage?
Yep.
And it took you how long?
It took me about a month and a half.
I mean, if you wanted to just freeze your butt off, there are plenty of places in Canada to which you could have driven.
There are plenty of places in Maine. Bangor for one.
So what happened? Maine was just too crowded and hectic for you, huh?
Yeah, that's right, you know.
Thought so.
Fast pace of life.
Oh, man.
So here's what my car is up to.
Go ahead.
It's making a weird noise. When I make a right-hand turn, particularly kind of a speedy right-hand turn.
Yeah, you get this.
Oh, my gosh, that's it right there. It sounds like there's a little goblin under my car knocking, trying to get in.
Yeah.
Are you playing? Haven't you been listening to the show? I mean, we have one of these calls a week.
Oh, no.
Well, at least we give out this answer once a week.
Right.
Whether people have the symptom or not.
Is this good or bad?
It's good. It's good. Yeah.
It's okay. Not. It's not terribly bad. I mean, it's better than a sharp stick in the eye, as they say.
Okay. Good.
You need a left front axle.
An axle?
Yeah,
that
the axle.
That sounds expensive, doesn't it?
It sure does.
Well, actually, if you still have any kin in Maine, they can ship you one.
Kin who still speak to her. That's sort of presumed.
Yeah. All right, give us your address. We'll send
you one. She didn't say why she left Maine, really. It could be to get away from people.
Well, if you have anyone stateside, I mean, you know, down here in the lower 48, they can mail you an axle. And the good thing is there's almost no chance of they're sending you the wrong one, because I think all of these Subarus for many years used the same axle.
But you think that Anchorage is such a godforsaken place that there aren't any spare parts?
Actually, they've got a whole ton of old Subarus up here. It's like the
course.
State car. Everybody's
of course.
Got a Subaru.
Everyone's got a Subaru.
Maybe.
It's all-wheel drive.
Well, no, except mine.
Yours
like
is just
the
front-wheel.
Only front-wheel drive Subaru in the whole state.
Yeah. Well,
oh, you fool!
I know.
Well, just leave it somewhere in a parking lot and take somebody else's.
Seriously, why did you move there?
I came here for the winter. I mean, I love winter. I loved growing up in Maine and having all that snow. And,
what a nutcase.
And then we get...
I hear that the government's looking for people to spend 4 years in Antarctica.
Hey, I'm all for it.
Yeah. Well, there is a certain mystique about 10 feet of snow.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what it is, actually.
Do you have friends there, Faith?
I had one friend here when I moved up, but she didn't even know I was coming.
She
so
was like just
sort of a wing and a prayer type thing.
But you don't care because the snow will be your friend.
Exactly.
Well, no. As my wife's grandfather would have said, you must be quite a vimmens.
That's right.
Good for you, kid.
Well, have someone put an axle in. And,
how much
and,
is that going to cost me?
I don't know. In Anchorage, it could cost you anything.
Yeah, anything could cost anything up here.
Yeah, but it shouldn't cost you more than a few hundred bucks.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
But yeah, you should fix it because it'll break, and when it breaks, then you'll be really stuck in the 40 feet of snow.
Oh, yeah.
That's no good.
All right.
Good
well,
luck, kids.
Good luck, guys.
See ya. Have fun. Hey, send us a postcard.
Hey, no problem.
All righty. See ya, Faith.
Bye-bye.
All right.
That takes some kind of courage. How many people out of the 7 billion that are on the planet would take a six-week, month-and-a-half to end up where? Nowhere.
Mostly driving in places where there's no one else.
Man, she's an interesting vimmens, this Faith.
She sure is. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is Sam Pachata from Pueblo, Colorado.
Pueblo! The government printing office. The storefront.
That's the only place people know us about.
That's right. What's up, Sam?
I have a 1986 Nissan Stanza Wagon 4x4.
Jeez, that's a rare vehicle.
Wow.
This car has went back and forth between a good friend of mine and myself. Each time we have a kid that turns 16, we give it to the other one. Okay.
Oh, I thought you were just selling it back and forth to each other because you had such bad memories.
And the price keeps going down. All right, 75 cents, that's my best offer.
I mean, and did you say, Jesus, kind of looks familiar, Sam, but I'll buy it anyway.
Well, this is the second time I've had this car back.
Yeah.
It, about every 5,000 to 6,000 miles, it starts running real rough. Just all of a sudden, it'll run real rough.
Yeah.
And then quit. No fire, no nothing. Replacing the rotor and the cap,
mm-hmm.
It'll run like a clock.
For 5,000 or 6,000 miles.
Then it'll do it again.
Oh.
You can use the same plugs, same wires. As long as you replace the cap and the rotor, it'll run like a clock.
You've done this experiment. You've changed nothing except the cap and the rotor.
Right. Now, this has happened to both my friend and myself. He had a mechanic do it. I did the work myself.
Yeah, that's a pain in the neck to change that cap, isn't it?
It's also an expense because that cap runs around $80.
Yeah, well, they're no fools. They know what's keeping the car running. They can charge you $180 if they want. This car has two ignition coils.
Yes.
And it has along the top of the cap where one of the coil wires connects, there's a long conduit that takes electricity from that coil wire to that contact point inside the cap. and I bet that's breaking down.
Okay.
Are you buying the caps from Nissan?
No, just, you know, regular parts stores.
I think I'd have to recommend you buy your next one from the dealer.
Okay.
I think you're going to find out, number one, that it's cheaper, and number two, it'll last longer. But I think that's what's happening. That conduit for the second coil, the one that has to travel the farthest or farther, is breaking down, and that's why the thing starts to run raggy.
Okay.
Don't forget that pretty soon there's going to be a price turnaround on these distributor caps.
Right.
You realize that?
Well, it's almost worth more than the car now.
Well, no, but as soon as the manufacturer of the cap realizes that they've made too many,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be able to get these things for a half a buck a piece.
Yeah, you buy them by the case.
Give them your phone number, Sam. They'll call you when the price starts to go down. Good luck, man.
Thanks, guys.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255.
How did you remember that?
You remember what?
86. You remember what the cap for an 86 Stanza looks like.
Huh?
How'd you do that?
You talking to me? Who are you?
I got it. Okay. Selective memory.
Guesswork. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, this is Lydia Wiggins in Foley, Alabama.
Hi, Lydia.
Where are you from, Lydia?
Foley, Alabama.
Foley, Alabama.
Yeah, it's the southernmost part of Alabama.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir.
Cool.
How southern would that be? Like in the Gulf of Mexico?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm about 10 minutes away from the beach.
Isn't that sweet?
School right now.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, Foley High School.
Foley High School?
Mm-hmm.
Foley?
So you're cutting class?
No, sir. I'm advertising editor of our school newspaper.
Ah, yes, I said mm-hmm. you're cutting class. Yeah.
No.
Why do you keep calling us sir?
It's a habit. It's
one of those southern things.
It is.
Yes, sir.
Wow, you're so well mannered. It's so
wonderful.
Well,
let's see if she's still well mannered by the time we finish talking to her. So go ahead, Lydia.
All right, I have a '93 Dodge Dynasty.
Did one of your grandparents leave this to you in a will?
Well, no, it's my dad's actually.
Your dad?
He lets me drive it because he says I'm too young to have my own vehicle, which is probably right because usually.
How young are you?
I'm not agreeing with him.
How young are you, Lydia?
I'm 16.
16.
Got it. Okay, yeah. Just checking.
Well, your father is still right. You are still too young to have your own car.
Yes, sir. He usually is right.
Stop calling me sir!
I'm sorry. Okay, but about the car. I was at a red light one day, and I was playing with my keychain, and the key fell out of the ignition.
But the car kept running.
Yes, sir. And, I mean, I can, when it's in drive and I'm driving down the road, I can pull the key out of the ignition. And,
yeah.
I mean, I don't do it on a regular basis.
But you can.
Yes, sir. I don't think I'm supposed to.
Well, you're not supposed to, except the key is so worn out.
Oh, no. It's not an old key.
It's not an old key.
Mm-mm.
It's your very own copy, Lydia.
Yes, sir.
That was made at the hardware store from a very old original key. So, you see, it's a combination of the key being worn out and the lock. What that key goes into is a lock.
Mm-hmm.
And then that lock is in turn connected to the ignition switch. But it's perfectly okay to have the thing fall out.
It's kind of nice because then you can leave the engine running if, you know, in case you have to run into the house for something and the house is locked.
Uh-huh.
Ordinarily, you'd have to shut the engine off and then run into the house, unlock the door because your house key is probably on the same keychain, and this way you can just leave the engine running in case, for example, someone wants to come and steal the car. It'll be already running for them.
Right.
They won't even need a key at all. And it's possible that you may not even need a key to start the car. Have you tried that?
Yes, sir. Actually.
Have you tried it with a screwdriver?
No,
you
do need the key to start it, right?
Yes, sir.
And nobody else's key, your father's key, for example, does not come out.
Well, no, sir, I don't think it does. I haven't tried it.
Well, you don't let him really drive the car anymore, do you?
No, it's not his car.
He has. Like, I had to get new brake pads.
So, oh yeah.
Oh,
my sons do that to me. If there's something wrong with one of my vehicles.
Especially something that will cost money to repair.
They say, Dad, why don't you drive it into work today and see if it's making any funny noises. And if it is, fix them.
Well, I do have a car. It just doesn't run, and it's starting to sink into the ground.
Yeah, I have one of them.
It's a 77 Lincoln.
Ooh.
And I'm scared of it.
How much you want for it?
My dad bought it for $1, and it ran for 2 years.
I'll give him 100% return on his investment.
A 77 Lincoln, huh?
Yes, sir.
It's a little big, isn't it?
Yes, sir, it is. It's very, very big. It scares me. It's so big.
Yeah, no, you need it.
The Dynasty's good for you.
You need at least a year behind the wheel of this Dynasty.
Yes.
To get your feet wet, and then you can get, if the Lincoln hasn't sunk down to the windows yet, you can have it fixed up and drive it.
We're slowly rebuilding it.
Well, don't worry about the key, because it has nothing to do with anything, and if it troubles you, have another key made.
Yes, sir.
Lydia, it's been a pleasure talking to you. You're such a well-mannered person.
Well, thank you.
Us Northerners, we're just such boors and yahoos compared to you Southerners.
Yes, we are.
We are. We're just a bunch of ill-mannered jerks.
The right upbringing.
We don't. We don't.
In fact, I'm going to insist that my brother call me sir from now on. Thank you, Lydia.
Oh, kiss my butt. Thank you, Lydia. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Tommy, do you remember last week's puzzler?
No. I do. It had to do with domicile envy, I
believe. I don't think we can discuss that on NPR.
Oh, we can, and we shall.
Okay, we'll be back in a minute.
One more night. One more day. A few more hours. I'll be on my way. Back to you.
And even though text messages select NPR and then type ENUF whenever we say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like you're a parent and need a scared straight punishment for your kids.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler.
Which I don't remember at all, to be honest with you.
You said you remembered it.
I was lying.
Well, anyway, this puzzler came from my Fewest Number of Moves series.
Oh, that crazy little thing.
No, it is. I thought this was a great little puzzle. Okay. It was sent in by Bruce Robinson, who's a professor at the University of Tennessee. Anyway, here it is. There are 25 jealous people who live on one floor of a very strange apartment building. On this floor are 25 apartments laid out in a 5x5 grid.
Yeah.
You got it? So if you draw this grid, the square in the upper left-hand corner, we could say, is 1, and the one next to it is 2, 3, 4, 5, and then the line below that is 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, right, all the way to 25.
I got it.
Got it? Yeah. Now, each person who lives on the floor aspires to move into the apartment of one of his adjacent neighbors. So number one can move to square number two or number six, for example.
And but not diagonally.
Not diagonally. Number two can move to number one.
Number three or number seven.
There you go.
I can visualize all that.
So here's the question. Why would anyone live in such a stupid... Now, the question is, what is the fewest number of total moves that will allow every person to move to an adjacent square?
All right.
Now, I know Doug Mayer has been... Did you get the answer, Mayer? He says, no, I didn't get the answer.
Well, unencumbered by the thought process, I concluded right away when you gave this problem...
It had to be 1 or 0,
the
right?
The answer was either going to be 26...
Ah, very good.
Or millions.
Well, millions is closer.
Millions is closer, huh?
Well, if you don't number them 1 through 25, but instead letter them.
Yeah.
And not A, B, C, D, E. Let's letter the first one A.
Yeah.
The next one B. The next one A. The next one B. Et cetera, et cetera.
Oh.
Then everyone who's on an A square must, by definition, move to what?
A B square.
Right?
And
everyone
and
who's on a B square must move to an A square. It's pretty obvious if you draw it out.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Now, if you add them up, by some stroke of bad luck, you got 13 A squares and only 12 B squares.
Someone's going to move out of the building.
They're going to evict somebody. So there are no fewest number of moves. It is impossible for this to happen. I know it's a little sneaky.
No, no, impossible is a good
impossible
answer.
Impossible is a good number of moves. So who's our winner anyway?
Gee, that's very good, you know? I like that question.
Well, you're going to love this week's if you...
Yeah.
Poor man just threw a wastebasket at me. He was up to 26,215 moves, and he almost had it.
Ah, the winner is Pete Carltalk. Carltalk, that's the show that comes on after us, starring Carl Castle, I think.
I would think it would be appropriate.
And for having his answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Pete is going to get a $26 gift certificate, which is $25 plus cost of living increase, to the Shameless Commerce Division, which is cartalk.com. And with that gift certificate, he can do some early Christmas shopping, maybe even pick up a copy of our CD called Born Not to Run, More Disrespectful Car Songs. This is an excellent Christmas gift, for example, for an in-law, someone you don't really like, but have to get a present for.
I guess that's our marketing niche, huh?
That's it.
Anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show, so don't touch that dial. In the meantime, your questions can be answered by calling 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Susan from Conway, Arkansas.
Hi, Susan from Conway, Arkansas.
Conway, Arkansas.
It's just north of Little Rock.
Yeah, you sound very chipper today.
Well, I have a problem with my car that my boyfriend thinks I'm imagining, and I'd like you to tell him that he's wrong, and then I'd like you to tell me if I should worry about this or not.
Do we have your check yet?
Go ahead.
Well, I have a 1997 Saturn SL1, and I was driving up to see some friends this past weekend, and I drove all the way there. It's about a two-hour drive. And when I got there, I pulled off the highway, and I made it through the first stop sign fine. And I got to the next one, and I shifted it into first. And when I went to shift it into second, the stick shift felt like I was shifting it through cream of wheat. It was a lot. I got more resistance.
Okay.
This may still be happening, or my arm may have gotten used to it. But it definitely did this for a couple days up until yesterday afternoon.
Only going from first to second or going through all the gears?
Through all the gears and even in neutral.
Well, what's the boyfriend's position here?
He says that there's nothing wrong, that I'm just imagining the whole thing, and that it's always been this hard to shift.
So let me get this right. Something may have happened, and it may not be happening now, but you're not sure. And you don't know what it is anyway. Yeah, sure. We're going to be on your side with this one.
And you're hoping that we can tell you what it is or it isn't.
I want to know whether or not I should worry about
this. Wait, you said now even in neutral, which means like when you're moving the shift lever left to right instead of up and down to go into the gears, it feels like there's resistance that wasn't there before.
Yeah, it's not as smooth.
How long a trip was this trip that you took?
2 hours.
I'm just testing the witness. I want to see if she's changing her story.
It was 2 hours.
It's 2 hours, but since that time, you haven't driven another trip of 2 hours.
Well, but aside from driving back, no.
I would say that it's mandatory that you take another two-hour trip.
Okay. Yeah.
What this means is that we have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, no, I know exactly what's
you
going on.
You do?
Not really, no. I think what's happened here...
Yes.
Is,
my brother has that look that this is going to be complete bull feathers.
I think that when she drives a thing at sustained high speed, one of several things is happening. Either the transmission is overheating because it's low on fluid and hence making it difficult to shift.
We checked the transmission fluid.
Yeah.
He did?
Yeah, we did. Mm. And it's fine.
All right.
Okay, so there goes theory with number one.
Oh, shucks.
I know you have a backup.
Of course. I think the shift linkage is getting overheated due to the absence of the catalytic converter heat shield, which fell off at about 35,000 miles. Well, it was removed because it was rattling. And then when you drive the thing at high speed, the thing gets hard to push because the thing is getting so heated up and everything expands. But I think it disappeared. I don't think it was there after it cooled off. The next day, if you search your soul, Susan, I think you'll admit that the next morning when you drove it.
It really was still harder to shift.
There goes theory number B. Okay, theory D.
I hadn't worked on any more than two. I figured one of the two would get her.
Well, they were both pretty good. The second one was quite bogus.
That's why it was the second one.
I considered the theory of the low fluid, but I dismissed it.
All right, I have a fallback position.
And even if the...
I'm siding with the boyfriend.
Well, I was there a long time ago. Yeah, I'm afraid, Susan, that I don't understand. I can't come up with any reasonable theory, and clearly my brother can't either.
Yeah.
But on the other hand,
well, here's the only
you don't
way-
sound like you're crazy.
I'm definitely not crazy.
And I have to admit that I have many, many times have fallen into the trap of not believing my wife when she tells me that the car is doing something.
And my friend felt the shifter, and both of them, actually two friends, a he and a she, and they both noticed it.
They both noticed it.
Yes.
Man. Well, then I'm sticking with my theory number two. And the way you're going to verify this is take the car for another extended trip.
Okay.
You have to do
I'll
this.
I'll do that.
You have to do this and call us back.
Okay.
Then I'm going to stick with my sticky shifter.
Okay. Well, I mean, I don't agree, but fine.
Well, I'll let you know what I find out.
Yeah, I mean, it can't hurt to take another two-hour ride.
Indeed, there may even be nothing wrong, or there may not be a heat shield missing. It's just heat that gets generated as a result of a long trip, and it's causing the shifter cable to bind up. That's the only other thing.
Okay.
Okay?
I will definitely do this.
Okay.
I'll let you know what I find.
I'd love to know.
Okay.
See you, Susan.
Thanks.
Bye.
Hey. Would now be a good time to read some mail?
How about never? Never worked for you?
No. I have a letter here from Ken Turner out there in cyberspace. You're going to like it.
I'm ready.
When my husband and I arrived in an automobile dealership to pick up our car.
Wait a minute. This is from Ken Turner?
Isn't that interesting?
Well, go ahead. Who am I to question?
I didn't read the first sentence. See, I skip over things. The following is from a collection of anecdotes that appear too stupid to be made up, believe it or not. So Ken said that, and this is an anecdote told by somebody whose name we don't know. When my husband and I arrived at an automobile dealership to pick up our car, we were told that the keys had been accidentally locked in it. We went to the service department and found a mechanic working feverishly to unlock the driver's side door. As I watched from the passenger side, I instinctively tried the door handle. And the door opened. And I said, "Hey, it's open." And the mechanic said, "Yeah, I know. I already got that side." Now, I wonder if he was accredited.
You never know.
Certified. I already got that side. I love it. Well, thanks, Ken, well, whoever you are.
You've got to entertain the possibility that he was getting paid by the door.
By the door.
Anyway, if you want to send my brother some mail, what's that address, Frank?
The address is Tommy's Mail, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Massachusetts, 022.
38.
That's what it is. 02238.
Or you can email anything to him if you go to cartalk.com. He'll read anything.
I'll read anything if I can get my mail.
The stupider, the better. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's the number to call if you want to talk to us right now. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Michael from Chapel Hill.
Hi, Michael.
Michael.
What's happening, man?
Well, I've got a 1985 Volvo station wagon with 215,000 miles on it.
That's good.
See, you know, who's that one guy who had like 900,000 miles on his Volvo? You remember there was a Volvo ad?
One of your customers?
Not the ones with the 2x4s. But there was another Volvo ad years ago about somebody who had close to 1 million miles. Well, he ruined it for everyone else.
He did, I know.
I mean, you ain't going to go for the record.
Michael says, "I got 215,000 miles." Then there was that pregnant pause where he was waiting for us to say,
wow,
how did you do that?
Like, compared to 948,000, yeah. I mean...
Yeah, you got to go five times that to impress us.
Well, actually, I bought it with 200,000 miles on it, so I can't really take too much credit.
Oh, you paid $50 for it. The $50 Volvo.
No, hardly. So anyway, go ahead.
Well, anyway, my car is making this horrible screaming sort of metal-on-metal crying noise coming right out of the center of the dashboard.
Dashboard. Oh, you poor guy. you have a choice here, Mike. We can give you an answer, which will certainly sadden you, or we can just say goodbye now and just pretend that you never got through. Yeah. What's your choice? You want door A or B?
Well, I'll take door number one. I'll take the answer.
Mm-hmm. Man's got a lot of courage.
Chapel Hill.
Mm-hmm.
What's the
it's far enough away that he can't get at us?
Mm-hmm.
That's true. What is the average winter temperature?
Oh, they don't really celebrate winter down here. It's in the 30s probably.
So you could live without a heater
so
if you had to.
You could say that winter passes quietly and unnoticed.
Well, it's not like it's completely unnoticed.
But whilst
it's going to be a lot more noticed this winter.
Oh, yeah.
We hate to break this to you.
Do the name Bronco Nagurski long underwear mean anything to you? What's going is your heater motor is going. There's a little electric motor that drives the fan.
Going, going, gone.
Yeah. And it's making noise because the motor is on the way out. And, the bearings in the motor are squealing at you.
And this is one of those cases where the part costs $1.25. And the labor cost $1 million.
Yeah, that's what my mechanic said. He said that to get in there, you have to, disassemble the entire front end, and it would cost.
Oh, so you knew what this was already.
Yeah, he was just hoping for a contrarian answer.
Yeah, no, you weren't going to get it from us.
Yeah, you were hoping that we would say, look, take a squirt of oil.
Yeah, right.
I've got something new now, because now it's making that same sound even when the motor is turned off. Once the engine warms up, it makes almost the identical sound, but slightly lower. This new sound only started, this summer I had a radiator blowout. So I poured a bottle of this stuff that they say plugs up your radiator.
Yeah.
That didn't help. So I poured in a couple of other things. One was like pixie dust, and one was just a bigger bottle.
Yeah.
And the radiator hasn't blown over since, but in the meantime, this other problem has started.
Does the other problem go away if you turn the engine off?
Yes.
Right. But I think of a bad water pump.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Okay.
Yeah, and it probably was caused by all that crud you threw in the radiator.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
I'm glad that you brought up the radiator issue.
Mm-hmm.
Because the only other thing that could make that kind of noise is the water pump.
Okay.
That's much better news, actually. The water pump, I believe, is not impossible to replace on this car.
Oh, okay.
No, the water
pump is kind of easy.
The water pump is easy. Do you own your own home, Michael?
Do you have you taken out a home equity loan yet?
No.
I hear that the rates are very attractive.
That doesn't sound too promising.
No. The water pump is the best news you could get anywhere.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you can live with the heater making noise. It's only a few months.
The heater fan will work for a long, long time making all that noise, you know.
Okay.
At some point, it's going to burst into flame. So if you can predict that time with a little bit of
accuracy. Make sure you're out of the country. Now, wouldn't it be convenient if you could loan the car to a friend? I'm often convinced that people who know their cars are on the verge of a disaster.
Yeah.
Arrange to have a friend ask them to use it.
Yeah, and they say, sure. And then something breaks, and the friend feels obliged to pay half of the repair cost.
And you say, but be careful with my baby, because she's been in the family for a long time.
Exactly.
I really would be upset if anything were to happen to her.
Right, your chin has to tremble a little bit when you say this.
Right.
Work on it. You're going to need it. See you, Michael.
All right, thanks.
Thanks for your call.
Oh, man.
All right, look, it's time. It's pretty obvious. It's time for us to take a little break and give our friends at the stations a chance to chat with their listeners.
Yeah, I can hear their message now. Help! We've been tied up and we're being forced to air Car Talk. Please call the authorities.
Well, if that plea for help doesn't work, we'll be back with a brand new puzzler in just a minute, so stay tuned.
Again, a rhythm blasting from the dash in a cloud of smoke and cigarette ash. But that old girl starts a bitter attack. And any time that I'm feeling low, I got the man in black on my stereo.
And even though the editors at Roger's Thesaurus hit upon two new synonyms for bozo when they hear us, this is NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Collect, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
Yeah, go ahead. And,
oh, Jesus. I'm getting the negative vibes already. And I was nice enough to come up with a Puzzler about you and your son.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, here it is. See if you like it. I know you won't, but what do I care? Many moons ago, when Alex was learning how to drive, Tommy thought he'd take him out in his 63 Dart onto, you know, some backcountry roads and show him. This is before Alex totaled it. It would have to be, wouldn't it?
It would be, yeah.
Yeah. And he would show him, you know, the rules of the road, so to speak.
Yeah.
So Alex is driving along, doing rather well, and Tommy hears an unfamiliar noise.
The engine's running.
No. and he realizes after a minute or so that the right rear tire has gone flat.
Oh.
Boom, 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 boom. So they pull off. You know, it's a small country road, and they pull off onto the shoulder. And Tommy figures this is another opportunity
exactly.
to teach.
Yeah.
So he's going to teach young Alex how to change a flat tire.
Mm-hmm.
So with the semis whizzing by at 70 miles an hour, Tommy hides in the bushes and tells Alex from 100 yards away, take the jack out of the truck. So they jack up the car, you know, after loosening the wheel nuts, and mm-hmm. and Alex very carefully puts the five wheel nuts in the hubcap. But when he goes to retrieve the spare tire, he inadvertently steps on the hubcap and sends all but one of those wheel nuts cascading down the nearby hillside, never to be seen again.
Mm.
So he got out of the five wheel nuts, he's got one that he managed to save, and the others are gone. Tommy, after administering an appropriate number of dope slaps, says, "Aw, man, we're done for.
We'll die here in the woods with Ted O'Brien."
So there they are, stuck out there, and Alex says, "Wait a minute. Can you have four wheel nuts on every wheel instead of five?" And Tommy says, "Yeah, of course we can, at least until we get back to town. It'll be perfectly safe." Alex says, "Well, we can take then one nut off each of the other wheels, leaving four on each wheel, and we'll have four on this wheel. And we'll be all set."
Kid was always thinking, you know? Wow.
3 hours later, they're still waiting for help. AAA, everyone.
They never show up.
Right, the helicopters are out there looking for them. They find Ted O'Brien first. The question is, what happened?
Yeah.
Why couldn't they do what Alex wanted to do? And if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or attach it to the bottom of an 8-foot extra-deep antique clawfoot tub filled with a year's supply of aromatherapy bath salts, an inflatable floating neck cushion, and a rubber ducky. And send to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
But give us a call if you have a car question for us. Our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Shelley. I'm calling from Richmond, Virginia.
Hi, Shelley.
Shelley?
Hi, yes, Shelley.
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay, I am starting a new job in February in California, and my husband and I thought it would be fun to drive cross-country with our pets.
Yeah.
You did, huh?
Well, you know, take a week or two.
Sure.
But a friend of mine thinks we're absolutely wacko because our pets consist of three dogs and two cats, and the car we plan on driving in is a Ford Focus hatchback.
Well, how do you normally travel with three dogs? I can't imagine you'd go many places where you could leave the dogs home.
Well, we do travel with the three dogs in the car. It's the two cats that add a little complication, but,
Do they get along?
Not really.
They will
after
this trip.
2 weeks. Well, that might be good, you know. I mean, they might learn to be together.
Right. I mean, there's...
And they might become friends.
What kinds of dogs are these?
Well, the biggest one's a German Shepherd. He's about 75 pounds.
Ooh.
And the smallest is like a little 17-pound dog. Do you think we're crazy?
Sure.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, the cats.
And it's the three dogs, two cats, and all your stuff.
No, no, the stuff you're going to ship.
Yeah, the company will ship our stuff. It's just we just need the essentials for the 2 weeks.
Oh.
We're thinking about a roof rack. I mean, you know.
A roof rack. So how far are you driving from Richmond to where?
To San Francisco, so it's about 3,000 miles.
Oh, brother.
Oh, brother.
My friend thinks that it'll land up in divorce or stranding some of the pets in Death Valley.
Yeah, we certainly don't want that.
No, but, I mean, I don't really see any alternative.
How about you rent a car, a real car, like a wagon?
Yeah.
You throw all the animals in it, and one of you drives the car, one of you drives the van.
Oh, there you go.
Or why don't you dump the car?
Why don't you dump your husband? And then one of the dogs will sit in the front seat. That may happen anyway. I can see that shepherd's got his eye on the front seat. Now, I think that Tommy's idea is actually pretty good, that you drive two vehicles out there, one of which you've rented specifically to accommodate the creatures.
The only thing I don't like about that is that she and her husband are not going to be sitting together.
Exactly.
And you can't fight.
Or we could rent an RV and pull the vehicle.
Ooh, even better. There are some RVs that have a garage in them.
Ooh.
I don't know if there's a garage big enough to hold a ZX3. Maybe you'd have to downsize a little bit, but some of them have actual garages.
They do?
Yeah, of course, it's like $2 a mile, and they're not cheap to rent.
And it gets expensive, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
It gets expensive, yeah.
Well, trailing it is not a bad idea.
That's not a bad idea. If you can rent, I think Cruise America, you can rent an outfit that rents RVs.
Okay.
You can rent a Winnebago or some such thing from them, and they'll hook you up with a trailer hitch that you can put your car on.
Plenty of room for the animals.
Plenty. You have to find out in advance if animals are allowed.
Okay.
Because they may not allow animals. If that's the case, you'll have to sneak them in at night. No, I don't know what you do. If they don't allow animals in these things, you're done for. Well,
yeah.
Then you just have to buy one and sell it when you get there.
This is getting way too
expensive.
Oh,
it's going to cost you $45,000 no matter how much you look at it.
$45? How about $245?
But I would give that a shot. I would give it a shot to renting a big enough vehicle for your husband and you and all the creatures, plus all the paraphernalia you're going to pick up along the way. I mean, you might want to just get a bigger car right now.
But it's a 2006.
Well, it has high resale value. So when did you make this crazy decision to move to San Francisco?
Recently, the last couple of weeks.
What's out there that you're going? Is it a job?
Yeah, I do nuclear physics, and there's a lab out there.
Oh.
So, what, there are no, as my mother would have said, what, there are no labs in Richmond?
Well, no, my mother says, what, there's no labs in Indiana? Because I'm already far from home.
Yeah, exactly. Is that home, Indiana?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, well, I think you ought to research that. Well, anyway, you've committed to going to San Francisco. I can see that. And I think a bigger vehicle might be in your future. And don't worry about the resale value of the ZX3. Whatever it is, it is. What's more important is that you have a fun time going.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you can get a bigger vehicle that will suit your needs, great. And I would recommend something like a Toyota Sienna van or what you're going to need anyway for the dogs. Or a Honda Odyssey or something like that.
Sure.
Actually, the Kia Sedona minivan I just fell in love with at the car show.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I liked it.
Kia Sedona.
Okay.
Yeah, you might want to look at that.
Okay, plenty thank
of,
you very much.
Plenty of room for the dogs. If not, get a Winnebago and live it up. Send us a postcard.
Fun, actually.
See you, Shelly.
Thank you.
All righty.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 888. Doesn't anyone screen these calls? 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is John from Greenville, South Carolina.
Hey, John, what's going on?
Well, I've got a Ford F-150 with a 5-speed manual transmission.
Okay.
I bought it in May. At that time, it had 129,000 miles on it.
Uh-huh.
And then in the middle of June, I had to replace the entire transmission, the flywheel, the clutch, and the slave cylinder.
Okay.
So I figured I'd be good for a while. And then in the middle of October, I found out that the clutch and the flywheel were shot. Now, there's a little bit of a wrinkle. I don't drive the truck. I have a guy who works for me that drives the truck.
Mm.
And I'm wondering, is there any information that I might be able to pass on that might avoid me having to replace the clutch every 3,500 miles.
Yeah, here's the information. You're fired!
Shape up!
Yeah, I think he cooked your clutch.
Who is this guy who's driving it? Young kid?
He's about 55 years old and has driven a standard before and said he had a commercial driver's license for back in the day.
Have you seen him drive?
Well, I at the request of my mechanic, I took a drive.
Yeah.
And I watched. And
good.
The mechanic had suggested that maybe his foot is not coming off the clutch.
Uh-huh. Either that or he's giving it way too much gas.
Well, actually, both of those turned out to be the case. So, can a clutch really go off in 3,500 miles?
In a day.
Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely.
In a day. My brother may remember this, but we had labored long and hard to put a new clutch in his old Rambler, which was a pain in the butt because it had a torque tube and required taking out the rear end.
Oh, man.
And so we put the new thing in, and the first one lasted 100,000 miles. And a friend of his came from New York and said, "Oh, can I borrow your car? I'm here just for the day, and I took the train. I don't have a car." And Tommy says, "Well, yeah, you know how to drive stick shift?" And she says,
"Huh?"
Something to that effect. Or, "Well, yeah, sure."
Uh-huh.
And she returned the car that afternoon.
That day, that very day.
And she said to him, "Oh, I was so proud of myself.
I never stalled it.
I never stalled it." And Tommy said, "Oh." And the reason she never stalled it is she had the gas pedal 3/4 of the way to the floor every time she let the clutch out. And the clutch pedal probably never made it all the way up either.
I got you.
And it was...
And in one day, I had to put a new clutch in.
Oh,
but we were real good at it that second time, I'll tell you. We whipped that baby out in half the time.
So that's definitely what's happening to yours.
Well, I guess I'm pretty lucky then. I got, you know, a couple months out of it.
Well, if this guy is a good employee, and
yes, he is.
Well, then you're going to get an automatic transmission truck.
I'm thinking about it.
Because this is going to kill you, John.
But I have to say, in fairness, the transmission shop that I took it to, they replaced the transmission and gave me a 12-month warranty on the clutch and flywheel. And they... Somewhat begrudgingly, but they did replace it at no charge.
That's very sweet of them.
Yeah, so now they're going to go and assassinate this guy because they can't have him driving your truck anymore.
So yeah, my odds of getting him to replace it again if they hear this show are pretty slim, right?
Yeah, no, they're not going to replace it again.
No, in fact, we're sending them a fax right now.
I'm just wondering what you can do about this. I mean, it's the guy who's driving it that's doing it.
Can we talk to him?
You want to talk to him now?
Was he there?
Yeah, he is. He's outside. Hold on.
Yeah, sure.
Hey, Steve. You upstairs? Here he is.
Great.
Hey, it's the car guys. Hey, what's up?
Hey, Steve. Now watch your language. You're on the radio.
Okay, I'm watching.
Is this Steve?
This is Steve.
Well, look, we talked to John and... We're pretty sure John's burning these clutches out.
You know? I think he is, too.
How often does he drive this truck?
Not too often. I'm the main driver.
So you're doing it.
Yeah, I guess I got a heavy foot, I guess. I don't know what the deal is.
Yeah, I mean, you know, whenever you drive a stick shift vehicle, whether it's a truck or not, you always have to be on the verge of stalling it.
Okay.
You have to let out the clutch fast enough and give it so little gas that you... are on the verge of stalling. And
okay.
So your goal is always to get your foot off the clutch as quickly as you can and give it the least amount of gas. And in fact, if you stall it repeatedly, that's okay. Because it lets you know that you're on the right track. If you said, "Oh, I drove the thing all day and I never stalled it," it means you're either letting the clutch out too slowly or you're giving it too much gas.
Yeah, I've been doing it like that recently, you know, since John rode with me because he said, you're keeping your foot on the clutch too long.
So you're trying to correct your bad habits.
Yeah, you know, I'm 55, but I still can learn a few tricks, you know.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, once you get to my brother's age, it's hopeless. So we're hoping to catch you sometime in the next 10 years here because it's a slippery slope.
It's a slippery slope. I'm having trouble with the ballpoint pen.
Yeah, right?
that click thing is getting him. It's knocking the hell out of him.
Oh, God.
You know, so you need to, and don't ever be afraid to, and we're going to recommend it to John, too, that after you've had a chance to mend your ways, that you have another test drive where he gets to assess your skills.
Well, I'm hoping for for a newer truck, too, you know.
Automatic this time.
Yeah, automatic.
Oh, he's learned his lesson. Well, good luck, Steve.
All right. Well, let me hand it back to John. Thank you.
All right. Jeez. Well, thank John.
You. Well, thank you very much, gentlemen.
Well, let us know what happens, will you?
I think I should say thank you. I have no idea what
Well, we don't know either.
I wasn't sure Steve was taking it too seriously, especially when we told him it was probably your fault. Anyway, good luck, and get him an automatic next time, will you?
You got it. Thanks,
Jim. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, it's happened again. You've squandered another perfectly good hour. Listen,
I have?
Yes. Listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug, the subway fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Flau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Britchford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. And our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. Our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Albuquerque leftover turkey, braised tofurkey, and all beef jerky lunch with Murky, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our personal hygiene advisor from the Tokyo office is Oteka Shawa. Our staff bicycle tester is Maya Sertz. Our press secretary is Don B. Zonozzi. Our anger management counselor, our marine forecaster is Caesar Choppy. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. The Payne Diaz family has the week off, but the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the particle physicist, double parked in front of Dunkin' Donuts in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And remember this, don't drive like Tommy.
And remember this, don't drive like Tommy.
There you go. I second that. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1247, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com. Also this week at cartalk.com.
Holiday shopping.
That's right. As usual, we have everything for the person you really don't like that much.
Yeah.
For example, we have a 2-CD set called 25 Years of Lousy Car Advice that features our favorite calls from, guess what, the last 25 years.
Yeah.
And we have 25th anniversary Car Talk t-shirts and sweatshirts.
Hurry, they won't last.
He means that in the quality sense, folks, not that they'll sell fast. Check out all the Car Talk holiday swag right now over at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though our children petition the courts to change their last names to Bajoli whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.